Good morning. I want to welcome everybody into the worship service. Before we get started, I got a card I need to read and a reminder here. Okay. Then if the ushers would go ahead and make their way up front, and we'll be prepared here shortly to take up our tithes and offerings. This card says that. To the Goldtown Community Church family, thank you all for all your prayers, thoughts, and well wishes over the past 17 months for Sydney. He also knew his Aunt Pam has a wonderful, faithful family in you. May God continue to bless each and every one of you with victories of life's challenges. During a time like this, we realize how much our friends and relatives really mean to us. Your expression of sympathy will always be remembered. That's from the Nelson family. That's Pam's, at the passing of Pam's nephew and her family, his family. All right. In your bulletin, there is a reminder in there about trunk or treat. The details are in there of how you need to sign up for that, but there is still a need for trunk or treat sign-ups. So please see the bulletin, the reminder in there. There's, I believe, a sheet back here on the youth bulletin board. So if you haven't signed up and you could participate in that, please do so. There are a pair of glasses that were found back here in the back. I don't know if they belong to anybody that's here today. But we'll leave them up here for this week and next week, and then I'll give them back to the lady that gave them to me.
Okay.
I don't know. They look like ladies' glasses. I probably should have put them on and tried. Huh? All right. If our ushers would come, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. You set your feet under God's table this morning and just enjoy His blessings. If you're visiting with us today, if you're here for the first time, you're a visitor, we're glad you're here. We ask you to just set your feet under His table and make yourself right at home. And we welcome you this morning. All right. Frank, would you pray God's blessing upon the offering and the service today, please?
Amen. 58.
Bless you, Bobby.
Yeah.
Bless you, Bobby. Sing this morning, so we're going to sing.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Let's do 58, and then somebody just said 63. Listen, hey, I've been in revivals now.
Yeah.
I've been in revivals for the past 2 weeks singing, and I'm not letting up any this month. It's revival time, and I'm not going to lie to you, I'm tired in body. But we've been having a time in the Lord. We was in Black Betsy last night in a good service. There was shouting. The Lord showed up. There was hands raised. There was burdens lifted. There was problems solved. There was hearts healed. God's around everywhere, folks. He is around everywhere, and we don't need to hinder Him by any means. Here at Gold Town, we don't need to hinder Him because He's wanting to work. I'm seeing it. I've been singing in revivals now for the past month and this month, and I'm seeing it. God is moving, and we don't need to hinder Him from moving here. So if He's telling you to do something, I promise you, it needs to be done. And it needs to be done quickly. Just like I said Wednesday night, I sat down with my sons, and I said, you need to make sure everything's right with you and the Lord. Because I believe from the bottom of my heart that He's going to come back anytime. Anytime. And I want my house to be in order. And I told him, and I sat down with him, and Meredith was sitting there, and I said, I'm asking you from the bottom of Dad's heart. I want you to go to heaven with me. Is everything all right with you and the Lord? Because if it's not, we'll get her fixed right now. It's that serious. We need to be talking to our loved ones. We need to be getting them ready to go home. Now, I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to preach. I'm not a preacher. But we're going to sing. If you got a need, if you need something, you come get it fixed. Come get it fixed. Somebody will meet you.
I live again, I came from the road.
Trouble, Grace. You get me in trouble with the boss.
Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be when His voice we hear. There is one thing that I know for sure, when He will be sinless and pure. For we shall of heaven when he appears. You can say goodbye to pain. You can say goodbye to tears. Changed in a moment, we all shall be with Jesus to live through eternity.
Cannot be here Wednesday night.
That's so, good, Craig.
Well, are we going to have a choir Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. I think I'd rather hear our choir sing than anybody.
Yeah.
Bless you.
So I just appreciate you guys.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bless you, Greg.
That's good stuff.
So spread the word. Spread the word. You go.
To see an ophthalmologist, a dermatologist, a cardiologist, a pulmonologist. And every time I go to one of those, I have to call the insurance and I have to get a referral.
Yeah.
And last week I had to have a referral for one of the kids. And they sent me a piece of paper and I had to call my insurance. I had to get the lady's name, her ID number. And I had to ask her, do you cover this code, this code? We went through 10 codes. It was a long process. And as I stood here and watched those come to the altar, you don't need a referral to see the King of Kings.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You don't need a referral to see the great physician.
That's right.
You don't have to take 26 pills a week. Now, if you need them, which they tell me I do, it's great that we have that. Yes. But you are in direct contact.
Amen.
With the great physician.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're here and your heart's hurting, Bobby,
yeah.
If you have a physical ailment, if they've told you you've been diagnosed with something, you do not need a referral.
That's right.
To speak to the King this morning.
Yeah.
Amen.
I would urge you, if your heart is not where it should be, come to the direct line.
Yeah.
And make things right this morning.
Yeah.
Bless you. Bless you.
Amen.
Okay, it's the big choir's turn. As this choir goes down, get your hymnal. Turn to page 137. Hey, let's spread the word about our revival. Let's get people out.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Now onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we sing and shout the victory.
I had to leave the day after my mom's funeral and been gone for 3 weeks. I haven't been back to church. But when I come home, there's a stack of cards, and I can feel the prayers from the people. And I just want to thank everybody for everything. And I just appreciate all y'all. I couldn't have a better family than what I have right here. I mean, I love my own family, but I'm just saying that this is just like, it's just like family. And I really appreciate every one of you. Just thank you for everything you've done. And my dad was down here, and he really enjoyed the service, and he just went on and on about it. So I really appreciate y'all making him feel welcome too, which he knows about a lot of you anyway. But anyway. I just want to thank y'all for all the prayers. I really appreciate it.
Bless you, Kim. Bless you, Kim.
Jimmy, you and Robbie, come up here. He's here. He's here. And over here, boys. Now, I want you to look toward that fellow there and lift up your hand. He's going to preach. We're going to ask God to anoint you mightily. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.
Father, Lord, we just
thank you.
As we gathered our Father here, in your presence, Lord God, we ask you to anoint you to be upon Brother Aaron, Lord God. Give him the message, our Father, with strength, with wisdom, with power, Lord God, and understanding. Our Father, Lord God, loose him and let him go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, fellas.
These things are not in our bulletin. I just thought we ought to do them.
Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Now, Al didn't know what my message was. Julie didn't know what my message was. I didn't know what my message was. But the Lord is here this morning. He gave me this thought last night, and I've been working on it, and it's been a busy month for us, and I'd like to thank those of you that were able to attend the wedding yesterday, and how many of you believe in prayer? God can change things. Go ahead.
Bless you. I love y'all all.
Bless you, Pat.
That's good.
But I thought as we were preparing for that event last night, and you all know what the weather situation's been over the past month. And normally when we get a hurricane, we get the after effects of it in the rain. They had an outdoor wedding, and we began to pray. And then the weather turns hot. I don't think it's rained for, 2 weeks now or something like that. And the weather turns hot, and I thought, man, I don't want to be outside in a lot of heat because I perspire. And my boys are all just like me. And we were all in suits and all this, and we began to pray about it. Of course, Jamin had a honeymoon planned down in the Caribbean, and, you know, we thought that's not going to take place either because several of those islands there were just totally wiped out. But his destination was the one that the hurricane just glanced off of it and went on. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I began watching the forecast, and it was 90s and 90s and 90s, and then it went to 80s and then 60s for yesterday. I thought, you know, Lord, you're good. And I know He's blessed their wedding and their exchange of vows and everything, but I'm so thankful that you can witness the power of prayer. I thought as we were watching the storms, they were coming up and they were going right on up into Canada. They don't normally do that. They come up and they come over and they dump on us. But you know, we didn't have rain, had a beautiful day. But again, I just want to praise the Lord for that because he does hear and answer prayer. Now this morning, you all didn't get to hear our Sunday school class. But I thought, you know, we came together, and several of them in their work with the child, you know, the children's church, and they didn't get to be in here last Sunday. So we had Trenton give his testimony again of how the Lord had called him, and he gave us a lot more details. So sometime you might want to hear the rest of the story, as they say. But it was just a blessing. And we were going around, and Isaac has been running with Chris. And he's been going to those revivals. And he told us how many he had to sing in the rest of the month. And you know, that was a blessing too. And then a little girl spoke up. And she told us about a dear friend of hers. I guess we'd call her boyfriend. But he's in boot camp right now. I'd like for everybody here who's been through boot camp to stand up, if you would. Now, I'm thinking, you know, you're all in boot camp, and I'm wondering what you're thinking about when you're in boot camp. Are you homesick? Want to get back home? And you know, what did you do to try to comfort yourself in that? But we have a young man who's in boot camp in Oklahoma City. Is that right? It's what? Just finished boot camp. You get ready. That was the young girl I was talking about. But she told us a story about what has got him through boot camp. And it's the fact that he's been going to church every week for strength. His name is Austin Carpenter. And as I said, he comes to church when he's able to here. But I'd like for Katie to share this with you. It's a little bit funny, but it's a great blessing. You listen as she stands to tell you right now. I gave her a mic because I didn't want you to miss this.
Okay, so a lot of you guys know Austin. And, well,
bless you, baby.
I'm sorry, it's a real blessing to, he didn't go to church a lot before we started dating, and it's a blessing that after I started bringing him, that he's carried that on, even though he's left, and he's been going to church every Sunday. But to get to the story, it's pretty good. One of the guys in his platoon is named De Jesus, and his sergeant had called him the Jesus. Well, Austin had invited him to church with him one morning, and he said, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you come to church with me so I can say I took Jesus to church?" Well, Jesus went to church that morning and got saved.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
So Austin can say now that he's one of the only people that took Jesus to church and got him saved.
The power of the Lord. It wasn't a great miracle that he did. It wasn't a great thing, but you know, I think you're trained in the army to help save lives of those of your fellow comrades. And think of it, he invited him to church, and he saved his life because he gave it to Jesus Christ. And any of you that didn't hear, his name's De Jesus, but his sergeant was calling him Jesus. And he took Jesus to church, and Jesus got saved. I think that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Now, you other guys have been in boot camp. I don't know if you took anybody to church and had that opportunity, but I thought that was something we needed to share. So, 10th verse. We just went through 48 hours of prayer. I want to ask you this question. Did anybody tell you you couldn't pray? Has there been a decree going out from any of the kings or any of the leaders of our country that said you cannot pray for 30 days? I thought, here we're going into revival. If we got that kind of decree here, wonder what we would do. Wonder how we would respond. Would we continue on, or would we go in hiding to pray? Or would we just stop because we've been told we can't pray? But here is Daniel. Daniel is in a foreign land. Daniel is a captive of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. And the Chaldeans now have a new king. And his name is Darius. Darius really liked Daniel. So you say, why would Darius make up a decree that you couldn't pray to any god but him or the next 30 days? It's because somebody stepped in and told him to. In this particular scripture, it said that when Darius took over, he appointed three presidents. Wonder what the United States would be like with three presidents. We can't get along with one, can we? So, But he appointed three presidents. And of those presidents, he also appointed 120 princes to work with the people and to show them what was going on. But of all that he appointed, he picked out Daniel. And here Daniel is from Judah. He's been taken captive, but the king chose him to be the number one leader. And you know, we often think, what's the reason for that? If you look in the first verse, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Why was Daniel chosen? He was a foreigner. He was a captive. But he was chosen. Listen to this. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Why was he chosen? There was an excellent spirit in him. This morning, there have been an excellent spirit in this congregation. You say, why is there an excellent spirit among us today? Why was there an excellent spirit among us last Sunday? Because somebody has been praying. Somebody has been reaching the throne of God. David's, if I were to ask you right now, What do you think about when you hear the name Daniel? What comes to your mind first? Lions den. Do any of you know why he got put in the lion's den? Because he was praying. Why did they put him in the lion's den? Because he was praying. Because the king made a decree. After all these other presidents and princes got together, they said, hey, we got to get Daniel out of here. Daniel's from Judah. He shouldn't be over us. And he said, so they tricked the king into making a decree that for 30 days, no one is to pray to anyone but Darius. No other god but Darius. And of course, Darius just coming into power, he thought, that's pretty good. Everybody's going to be praying to me. So he said, I'll sign off on it. You know, a lot of our legislators sign off on law that they don't have a clue how it's affecting other people. And this king didn't have a clue that what he was signing was affecting his number one man that he really liked. So I think, you know, it's important. It's important that our country get back to prayer. Praying for our legislators, praying for our governor, our president, everybody. Because when they make a decision, it's going to affect somebody in an adverse way. And this is what happened here. He said, you know, I'm going to sign off. And David knew it. David knew what they were doing. And verse 10 is the one I asked you to look at. Let's read it. It said, let's go back. You know, I would rather that you not remember Daniel because of the lion's den. You say, well, why not, Aaron? I would rather you know why he was in the lion's den. He prayed three times a day. He prayed. He was in Babylon. He was captive. But he would go up into his room and open up the window and pray towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been taken captive and things were falling apart there. And I thought, it says this, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew that the decree had gone in place. He went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. David didn't change his his need to pray. He didn't change his schedule because there had been a decree going out. He knew what would happen to him by doing this. Now you say, he said he went into his room and he knelt down and the window was open. And he was praying to God right out that window. Have you ever opened your window and prayed to God? Or where do you pray? Or let me ask you this, do you pray at all? It's important for us to talk to the Lord. If we do it 3 times a day or if we do it 360 times a day, it's important for us to talk to the Lord. Now, I thought of what Chris said about his family. He gathered them together and asked them straight out, boys, are you all right with the Lord? That's what we need to be doing. And I thought, you know, as he began to pray and he's in his upper chamber, it says, you know what happened below? Crowds started gathering. The whole princesses, all the princesses and the president, they showed up. And they were looking at his life. You know, people are looking at your lives, Christians. They're going to look and see how you respond when you're told you can't do something. And they're looking at him. And of course, the reason they were there was to go back and tell the king. That, hey, you told him not to. And there he is. He's up there praying. And I thought, you know, he had a great desire to talk to God, and it didn't matter who told him not to. And he didn't close his window. He didn't go in the closet to pray, although that's a good place to pray. But he wanted to pray just as he had done all this time prior to this. He opened the window and prayed out to God in Jerusalem. And then the next verse says, and then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before God. They came about because they wanted to stop prayer to any other gods. They came about because they were jealous of Daniel and his position, because God had smiled upon him. You know, if there's an excellent spirit about you, you know what God's going to do? He's going to smile on you. He's going to answer your prayers. You say, why does God never answer my prayers? Probably because you've never done anything to deserve an answer. But God will answer your prayers. But I think he's more apt to say yes to you, or he's more apt to do the things, the desires of your heart, as when you have put in the effort to do so. Trenton was sharing about being called again this morning, as I said. And he said he was called back in January. And he said he didn't want to do it. I told Trenton, I said, I was called in January. And I didn't want to do it. And I didn't announce my calling until October the 12th, 1986. And he announced his calling last week. So I said, Trenton, you beat me by 3 weeks. So when God calls you, it's all right to question. But the thing that stood out and what Trenton said was, immediately when he left here, guess who started talking to him? Satan did. Yeah. Satan told him, Trenton, man, you made a fool of yourself. You don't need to be putting yourself in that position. Yeah. And I told Trenton, I said, the hardest thing sometimes is deciding what to preach. Because we don't know what your needs are, but someone that we work for does know your needs. Yeah. Yeah. He knows what you need more than we know how to ask. And I thought, you know, it's... I shared this with the class. I shared it with Trenton. There was a time that I spoke, and it was probably about my third message or so, and I went home, and Satan was stomping all over me. He said, Aaron, that was the worst I ever heard. You know, and I thought, yeah, he's probably right, you know, because he'll make you feel like it. He'll make you know, you know, that you're not, and the thing of it is, we're not, but God is. And I told him, I said, I was sitting at work the next day still kind of feeling sorry for myself, because I thought, what a bum job you did, buddy. And you know, they told me somebody's up front wants to talk to you. And to my knowledge, this fellow's never been to my office before. And he walked in and he came back and he spoke to me. He said, Aaron, I want you to know this. That was the best message I ever heard, and I needed it in my life. And I thought, you know, Satan will beat you up because you're trying to do something for him. But then he'll send somebody right along behind to put your arm around you and say, it's going to be all right. So you pray for Trenton. I believe God's called him. I mean, I've watched him over the last year as he's grown, and he's grown like he just blossomed. He's here every service. Did you hear me, church? He's here every service. Prayer service, Sunday night, sunrise service, whatever it is, Trenton is here. And I'm not giving Trenton a big head, but I want you to know there's an excellent spirit about him. And it's because he is following what God wants him to do. So you keep him in your prayers. And know this, that revival starts tonight. Go home and open your window. We don't have a city to pray toward. We don't have Jerusalem to pray toward. We don't have Mecca to pray toward. Maybe we should pray towards Washington, D.C. They need our prayers probably more than anything. And the thing about it is, I've got to go there this week. Part of the revival I'm going to have to miss. But I'm going for a purpose to try to help other people. But I want you to know this, that I will be praying. And I'm not going to tell you my heart was here, because I don't want you sitting on my heart. But I hope the pews are full, that you have to find a place to sit. I want you to know that God is in control. And if there's an excellent spirit about you, whatever you're asking for, he will answer. You say there are things that have come up that it's been impossible. There's been a family in our church that has a young child that took on to give him a place to stay. And they were coming, I think it was Monday, to get him. 2 weeks ago Monday. Wasn't that right? 2 weeks ago Monday, I think they were scheduled to come pick him up. But they began to pray, and they asked us to pray. And he's still here this morning. You think God can't work things through the DHHR or CPS or whatever? God is in control. And he wants what's best for each life that's here on earth. And he said if we would cast, what did he say if we'd cast on him? All of our cares. And what would he do? He would bear those cares for us. So he loves you this morning. And if you're feeling down and blue, and there's not an excellent spirit about you, then you need to come and say, Lord, do what you can do to help me, because I'm going to do my best for you. And if you've got to sing, or if you've got to, whatever it is, bring Jesus to church with you. He's going to be here anyway. And if you find a DeJesus out there, bring him too. And then you can say you brought Jesus to church too. But the main thing is, go out into the world seeking those that don't know Jesus Christ. And they can come. Pastor Al went to a church. Was you still in the military at that time, or was you out when you got saved?
No, I was out.
He just got out, right?
Yes.
Just got out, came here, and stayed with a family. And went to church with them just to be polite.
Right.
Isn't that great? He went to church to be polite.
Yeah.
Now, his name's not DeJesus, but it's pretty close. Mendez. But he went to church with them. And when he went to church with them, guess what he heard when he was in church? He heard the word.
Yeah.
And according to the scripture in Romans, it says, how can you be saved unless you hear the word?
Yeah.
And how can you hear the word unless there be a preacher? And how can he preach unless he's been called? Isn't it great? I thought when we gathered up here to pray for the first time, I looked and one of the first ones up here was Trenton.
Yeah.
There's an excellent spirit about him. Amen. We kid him in class all the time. He'll come in and we kind of look around. And one Sunday he had a fellow sitting beside him. It was in our class for the first time, and it was Hunter. We looked over at him and said, Hunter, we looked over at him and we said, Trenton, who's your new friend? And he said, I don't know. So from now on, we always say, where's your friends at today, Trenton, when you come to class? But it's a joy and a blessing to work with these young people. Because they're serious. They're serious. They're serious, even when they're at basic camp. They're serious. And if we'll invite one person this week, whoever it might be that you think, you know, needs help, they don't necessarily have to be saved. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that are pretty down and out because of what's going on in their life. But if they'll come and they'll hear the word, they'll hear a song that might pick them up. And when it picks them up, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to edify each other. So we're thankful for all of you that are here this morning. And I appreciate the Lord. And I appreciate people who will stand and testify of what God's done for them.
Amen.
You know, a testimony is not what you've done for God.
Right.
What, you know, what's that mean to anybody? But the testimony is what He has done for you.
Right.
You know, you can stand up and tell what you've done, all those that you've brought and all this and all that. But it's what He has done in your life. I thought of the Apostle Paul, his greatest witness when he went out, when he was among kings, when he was among the jailers that he was put in prison with. You know what he wanted to tell? He wanted to tell about an experience he had on the road to Damascus. You know what happened on the road to Damascus? He met Christ. He met Christ. And what did he do? He changed his life. He became one of the greatest evangelists of all times. He wrote over half of the New Testament. 27 books in the New Testament. 14 of them are contributed to the Apostle Paul. I thought, you know, he devoted his whole life. You know, I thought he had an excellent spirit about him. People wanted to hear what he had to say. As he sat one day, I think it was before King Agrippa, he sat there and he began to witness to him and he began to talk to him and he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, but lost. Paul had done his part. But it's up to each and every individual that walks through that door. You have to do your part. You have to be willing to surrender your life to Him. So if you're here this morning, and your spirit you don't feel is what it should be with the Lord, and others aren't seeing Christ in you at your job or at school or wherever it might be, you need to be praying that God, let me be a witness. Let me be a light so that when I open my windows to begin to pray, they'll start gathering around just to see, hey, he's still praying to God. He's still serving God. So as we stand and as we sing, if there's a need in your life this morning, we encourage you to come right now.
Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless, alone. Then I met the Master. Now I am one of His own. For all things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all for I met the Master. Now I belong to Him. Like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I had searched for the light. Then I met the Master. Now I walk no more in the night. For all things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all around me. For I met the Master. Now I belong to Him.
Somebody else. Take it to the Lord. And leave it there. Let Him take care of it. Whatever the problem is, whatever the need is, He'll reach out and He'll meet that need for you. Anyone else before we're dismissed? Service tonight. Who's singing tonight, Chris?
Jay Humphrey's trio will be singing tonight.
Okay. And our evangelist will be with us tonight. Alan Stewart will be here tonight.
He knows to be here at 6.
So. We start at 6 tonight, and then the rest of the week will be at 7. Yeah. So come prayed up. Come prepared. I thought of the wedding yesterday. There was a lot of preparation went into it. There was a lot of people involved. And there was a lot of prayer that was involved. And because of that, God blessed them. God blessed them in a special way. So let's get that excellent spirit about us. You say, I'm no good, Aaron. None of us are good. But with Christ in our life, we can have an excellent spirit about us. Anyone else?
I love the Lord.
Amen. Stan's not here, so Pat has taken his place.
I have two miracles. That's prayer.
Amen. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. She's got two children that God has stepped in and performed a miracle. And they're still with us. We thank the Lord for that. Amen. Anybody else? Jimmy, dismiss us and pray for the revival.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your presence in this place. Never doubt.